You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Alright, good morning everyone. Today we're kicking off a new series called Great Faith. But before that, whom you were able to join our prayer and fasting last week, if you missed out our prayer and fasting but you still want to increase or strengthen your faith, then you've come to the right place because we're starting off our Great Faith series. Yes, it's the same title as our prayer and fasting. Great Faith. The goal of this series is for us to be strengthened in our faith by looking into different stories in the Bible, looking into the life and the faith stories of those people. So for this first week, if I have a title for this first week, it would be No Turning Back. No Turning Back, and we're going to look into the book of Hebrews and learn from the Hebrew believers, the early church. We're going to look at their lives and learn how to have great faith from them. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 39? It says there, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." Verse 37, "For yet a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." So as I said a while ago, we're looking into the book of Hebrews. Now a few things before we dive into the verse or the passages we just read a while ago. And that is a bit of background with the book of Hebrews. There's a lot of interesting things about the book of Hebrews. Firstly, although we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews, a pretty interesting thing about the book of Hebrews is its purpose. Why it was written and to whom it was written. To quote a guy named Dr. Walter Martin, the book of Hebrews was written by a Hebrew to other Hebrews, telling the Hebrews to stop acting like Hebrews. It seems kind of weird, and quote, you know, it says here, it was written by someone, most probably a Hebrew person, to the Hebrew people. When I say the Hebrew people, the Christians, the followers of Jesus who came from Jewish backgrounds. They were Hebrew in the race. And it was to tell them to stop acting like Hebrews. What's happening here, just to expound from that quote, is that after Jesus left and the disciples started preaching the gospel, the church started growing and many people came to the faith. There were many people from different backgrounds, not just Jewish people, but also the Gentiles, also non-Jewish people. But for all followers of Christ, they were experiencing great persecution. They were imprisoned, they were killed, they were captured. It was a difficult time. It was a very difficult time for them. And so what happened was that a lot of them decided to give up the fight. They decided to quit, to give up their faith. They were about to go back to their old ways. They're about to practice some Jewish rituals or practice again that they didn't need to do because of what Jesus did for them. Now, because of the cross, because of the gospel, they were going back to their old lives. And this is wherein the book of Hebrews comes in. Anyone here, you watch boxing? If you watch boxing, after every round, the boxer would go to his corner, even when he's beaten up, cut, nabugbog na siya, ikapoy siya, he would go to his corner, then his team, his coach, all the other people would help him, would give them strength. May takan siyang tubig, imasahe siya, tapuhin ang dugo. They would help him so he would be back in fighting condition. They would replenish whatever energy he lost. They would re-encourage him. Kaya na, sumbagra diha, narakay may go diha, somehow. They would encourage the boxer somehow. And this is where the book of Hebrews is like. It's an encouragement to the Hebrew believers not to give up, even when faced with persecution or with opposition. In other words, today we're going to answer this question. How can you maintain great faith when the pressures against you are mounting on every side? If you're here today, church, and you can relate to that, you feel like there are pressures, there's opposition, there are challenges all around you. And somehow it feels like your faith is being choked. It's like it's hard for you to walk with God. Lord, I feel like giving up na. Lord, kapoy na mag-pray. somehow your faith is dwindling or it's dying because it's tiring. There's something that's so difficult. There's a storm in your life. If we want to know how to have great faith amidst that situation, we need to learn or hear what the Bible has to say about that. That's why we need to read the book of Hebrews. Actually, if you want to learn how to have great faith, you can't do so by missing out the book of Hebrews. You need to read the book of Hebrews, guys. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to unpack what we just read a while ago. So, three simple things we can learn from the passage, from our main text today. Firstly, that is, remember your testimony. If you want to know how to have great faith amidst pressures, opposition, amidst problems, firstly, remember your testimony. It says here in verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering. A very important word that's going to come back every now and then as we go through these passages, and that is the word recall or remember. And recall here is not just some simple reminiscing. Anyone here, mahilig ka mag-reminis, magunahuna, or you love thinking about what happened years ago, or you just like remembering. Mahilig ka magmuni-muni. This isn't just simple reminiscing. You see, the Greek word used for this word recall roughly means to remember with effort. To remember with great effort. Putangig effort ang pag-remember. The best way I can illustrate this is maybe something like this. Anyone here, you've had an exam before, and you know this experience. You have an exam, and you're answering your exam, then nag-isod ka, then you try to remember what was in your notes. Gusto kong gi-highlight na ako. Pink ang highlighter ang gigamit na ako ato. You're trying to remember the exact points, the formula, the text, what was about. You're trying to remember. But somehow, medyo blurry man ang memory ni mo. So you try your best to make the notes appear in your mind. Gina-trace back ni mo. Kanito, kanito. I've had those experiences. Sa ganito, medyo blurred na ang tunga na kailangan ni mo. You remember the first part. You remember the third part. Parang tunga-tunga. Sa man to. Mupay kailangan palang ni mo ng answer. To remember with great effort is kind of like that. When you have to remember greatly because it's very important. Put effort into it. It says here, recall what we have to put great effort in. The former days. Remember the former days, not just some secret knowledge, not some secret formula to getting great faith, but remember the former days when after you were enlightened. The book of Hebrews says, remember the former days after you were enlightened. Enlightened simply means the first time the believers first learned or understood about Christ, about Jesus. So in other words, the book of Hebrews or the author of Hebrews is reminding these believers, hey, whatever it is that you're going through right now, yes, gigapoy na siguro ka, you want to give up the fight, but recall, remember with great effort. Remember those days after you've received Christ, after you've learned about Christ, you know, after someone did one-to-one with you, you joined that victory group and you finally understood what Jesus did for you. Remember then, after a few days after that, remember the weeks after that, remember the early days when you became a new believer. Remember those times because it says here, because you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Is it pretty interesting that the author says, remember those early days as a believer, but he didn't say, remember the fellowship, the fun times, katong nag-whatever ta, remember katong nag-count-count tag Tempuras Boulevard. He didn't say that. He says, remember the former days, but specifically, what part of the former days? Those times when you endured a hard struggle with suffering. Hard na, struggle pa, suffering pa. Imagine, ma-feel na nimo ang kabugat sa gi-go through sa Hebrew believers. And we're gonna learn that in the next verse. What did they go through that the author wanted them to remember so vividly? Verse 33 says here, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Because of their faith, they were captured, put into prison, and not just as it says here, they were publicly exposed. Some translations, they were made a spectacle. They were humiliated in front of people because of their faith. And this is what they went through, not just for them personally, but sometimes they were partners with those so treated. They were with those who were, if dili sila personally, they were with those who were treated that way. And this tells us a lot of things, but one thing I want to highlight from this verse is that, you know, the Hebrew believers, they were not people pleasers. These people were willing to stand their faith in God, even though they would be mocked, humiliated, persecuted for their faith. In this day and age wherein a lot of us, we get so preoccupied with getting the likes, the praises of men. We want to look good in front of people. We want to, quote-unquote, have a reputation or just ganahanta okay ta sa people. In their time, the Hebrew believers, they didn't care about that. I'm not saying you should be rude to people. Okay, care nimo, bahala ka, dili ka na. But what I'm saying is, these people, these believers, they didn't care if they were mocked or made fun of for their faith. They just shook it off because they were so on fire for God. They were so passionate for their faith for God. And it didn't stop there. Verse 34 says, "For you had compassion on those who were in prison." Can you imagine this? They were humiliated na, they had suffering na, but they still had compassion for those who were also suffering. They weren't self-pitying on their own problems. But they had compassion for those in prison. And here's the really radical, or here's the really crazy thing. "And you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." Can you imagine that? I don't know what stories of persecution you've encountered, church, and all, but I've never experienced this, to be plundered with my property in broad daylight. You know, parang gikuha ta na ng balay, ang gamit, ang TV. But these people, they accepted the plundering of their property joyfully pa. Uy, kuha, kagang yung TV, apila ang ref na lang pud. I don't know if it was like that exactly, but they experienced that. And it says here, "Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession." Why were they able to do so? Why were they joyful and yet they were being plundered and experiencing this hardship? They knew that they had a better possession. The believers valued what was eternal over things that were temporal. Their eyes were fixed on what was not material. Their eyes were fixed on Jesus. Their eyes were fixed on God. They weren't focused on the material possessions they have. I'm not saying that we don't care or take care of what we have. Yes, we take care of that. We ought to be good stewards of what we have. But what we can learn from these believers is that they didn't make it their God, their possessions. They didn't make it parang my whole life revolves around what I have. No. They knew that they had something better. They knew that they had something eternal. They had this eternal perspective. And bahala na makuha ni tanan, this is only temporary. They knew that there was something more precious, that they had it. They valued what was eternal over things that were temporal. And what does this mean for us? What does this first part of the story mean for us? You know, looking into the stories of persecution and struggles and suffering. One thing we can learn from this church, remember your battles. With effort, remember those times, those first few weeks, moments when you became a believer and you were so passionate with God. Remember those faith battles, those altar building moments with God. Remember those times you prayed for days. You believed for days. Remember that times that you were seemingly wala ka, but you believed for God and He came through. Remember those answered prayers, those early testimonies you've had, those early breakthroughs you've experienced. Remember those times wherein you were willing to be persecuted, to be mocked, to be made fun of by your faith. And you just shook it up because you know that you had this eternity perspective. You know that you had something more important, more special than whatever material or temporary possession you have. Remember those times. As I was making this, as I was preparing for this, one of the things that came to my mind was one of my earlier testimonies. I've mentioned this a few times before, but it's just so important to me because this was something that happened to me when I was a new believer. And I'm sharing this to help us remember as well whatever testimonies you might have in the past and in those years ago or months ago. I remember when I was a new believer, I was still in college. And there was this conference that I was going to attend. I asked my parents, I had permission na. I wanted to go there and I had to save a certain amount of money. I was able to do so. Nakasave na ako, so I was ready to go. I was excited to go. But just weeks before the event, I got sick. Nagka-dengue ko in hospital ko. And some of you know that medication, it costs. So all my savings basically went to my hospitalization. The medicine, all the things needed. So nahurutan na akong giipon. Mom said, wala na tadong. Probably can't go na. And there and then, yes, I could have just given up. Ay, wala na ni, di na ako. But somehow, because fresh pa sa ako, ang understanding na ako what Jesus did for me, I was a new believer. I strongly believe that God was gonna come through. Even if right there and then, I didn't have the money, I believe in God that He was gonna come through with that provision. Cut the long story short, a few days later, where I was in the hospital again, but visiting a relative, and one of my aunts were there, and my mom was talking to my tita and said, si Tom, what is a conference na, bisikado, and all that. And my tita asked me, plenty kailangan mong kwarta dong? And I told her the exact amount I needed. Okay, I boldly told her, kan tita, okay, pabagaog na mo. I told her the exact amount I needed. And basically, she said, ay, okay, sige, hatakan na ikaw. Here, kwa ang kailangan ni mo. And so I was able to go to that event. Until day, it still warms my heart to be reminded as a new believer back then, I was able to experience the faithfulness of God. And times where I doubt, times where I worry, Lord, sure ka mo come through ka. When I remember that story, it's like a slap to my face. Parang, uy, basta unap, gabi ka, on fire, makabilive. Ano karon? Doubting kay ka. It's like a slap to my face. And I'm sharing this church because, you know, I'm pretty sure you've had your own testimonies. I'm pretty sure you have your breakthroughs. I'm pretty sure you have your stories upon stories of times where you personally experienced firsthand the faithfulness of God, and you were blown away by that faithfulness. And I don't know what that is, but you have to remember those. Remember. You see, our faith is strengthened as we remember. As we remember not just anything, but God's faithfulness. As we remember those faith battles, our faith is strengthened. Secondly, remember your reward. What is that reward? It says here in verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward. It says here, therefore, knowing and remembering all of those things. Therefore, remembering what you've been through before, the humiliation, the going through prison, remembering that you were made fun of, that you encountered great suffering. Therefore, amidst all of these things, and how you endured that, how you fix your eyes on Jesus, or how you fix your eyes on God amidst all of those things. Therefore, the book of Hebrews says, do not throw away your confidence. What does it mean, do not throw away your confidence? Confidence here doesn't mean self-confidence, but it means confidence in God, or trust in God, great trust in God. In other words, therefore, church, as you recall those moments, those days, where you're walking with God passionately, nung nasa front row ka sa service, when you're on time before countdown na naka sa church, when you were passionate with God, you're eager to read the word, to pray, and you're believing for God, you're experiencing all of these things. As you recall the former days and all those things you've endured, do not throw away your great trust in God. Do not give up. Do not trade the trust that you have in God, your confidence in God, because of a great reward. You have a great reward. And what is reward that the Bible is talking about? It is our salvation. Our salvation. That's why the believers had an eternity perspective, because they knew for a fact that after this, yes, I may suffer for like this certain period of time. Yes, until pilarang lifespan na ako, but after this is eternity with God. After this is to spend the rest of our lives with God. In eternal life with God, our salvation, that is our great reward with God. It says here in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What we're suffering, I'm not downplaying what we're going through, church. I'm not saying na, wala na, kebs lang na. No, I'm pretty sure for some of you today, you're experiencing something that's really serious. For some of you, you've been weeping, crying, you're tired. I don't know what you're going through, and I'm pretty sure for some it's really serious, but whatever that is, the word says, it says here that it is nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. Whatever pain and suffering you're going through, church, right now, it is nothing compared to the glory that awaits when we get to be with God after we leave this earth and after we spend time an eternity with God. Nothing that we've suffered in this world compares to that. In other words, as we read through all of this, what it's mean to us, again, don't quit. Don't quit, church. Don't give up. Don't quit because we've prayed once and our answered prayer didn't come through. Don't quit because you were in prayer and fasting and wala pa nabot ang prayer request ni mo. Wala pa answer yung prayer request. Don't quit. Because you've started to go back to church, but somehow wala pa na fix tanan. If you look into the life of the Hebrew believers, if you look at their lives, you would know that after they became believers, life did not become easy for them. When they became believers, life became difficult, became challenging for them. And that speaks a lot, church, that as believers, as followers of Jesus, our lives are not a walk in the park. Dilita hakuna matata. As believers of Christ, we cannot expect a problem-free life. But we can have a problem-proof life. When I say problem-proof, that even amidst problems, difficulties, challenges, we can endure them. And you don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be wrecked. Even amid storms and challenges in your life. Life with God, church, is not everything gets fixed. Everything is set now for you. No. There will be challenges. There will be persecution. There will be times of testing. And that is normal for a believer. Like, you're not alone. If you feel like, ano ako ra gasuffer ani, church, look at the Hebrew believers. They've suffered before. We've all have suffered. I'm pretty sure there's someone here right now who probably encountered something similar to what you've experienced. That is why it's important to be part of a church community. That's important for us to be part of a victory group. When you're part of a victory group, when you're part of a church community, you get to hear what other people are going through. You get to be encouraged by their breakthroughs, by their stories. Because what you're going through right now, your test, your struggle right now might have been already a testimony of someone else. Perhaps someone has already gone through what you've went through and you can greatly be encouraged by hearing his story. Or you yourself have gone through something and you can be an encouragement, a blessing to someone who's encountering what you've encountered before. That's why it's important to be in a community. Those people, those believers, they weren't able to endure all of that on their own. They were a community together. You remember, they had compassion for others. They were together in their suffering, in their trials, in their hardships. Don't quit, church. Verse 36 says here, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." If you ever wondered, ano ang author's Hebrews, why did he didn't say, remember the good times, remember the fun times, remember katong nag-road trip ta, naglaglag ta, nagsakay tag camel, yato tag kaninga lugar. You know, remember, he says, remember the hardships we went through, and that is because of this word, endurance. Remember all of these things, because you have need of endurance. We need endurance. And why do we need endurance? Because we need endurance to do the will of God, and we need it to receive what is promised. If we want to be able to live this life of faith, if we want to keep doing so, if we want to keep doing the will of God, if we want to get or receive the reward that is promised, then we need endurance. And what is endurance? Simply, endurance comes from the Greek word hopomone, for the endurance used in this passage. And it talks about a characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. It talks about a man who's not easily distracted or doesn't easily give up from his duty. In other words, parang unwavering siya. The best I can describe is a person like this. Do you guys know these people? Kaya mga guards sa UK, kaya mga nakabanday, di ba? Remember mo nila, bahalag, kulito niyo bilang ilong. They won't move. Nakapwesto lang sa nila. They would stand stiff and straight, and whatever you do, they will just stay there, unmoving. They would endure the heat of the sun, the rain, us annoying them. They would endure all of that. And likewise, just like those people, may we endure whatever it is that we're going through. And that's why we need endurance. For us to keep on walking with God, we need endurance. We need to be able to be like these guys when it comes to our walk with God. Hebrews 6 verse 12, "So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise." We want the promise of God. We want the blessings of God. We need faith and patience. We need to learn how to be patient. Verse 37, "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay." A time will come, church, will Christ will return. A time will come when we will reap that reward. But until then, we need to wait, to be patient, and have faith. We need to endure. So remember your reward, and remember your testimonies. Third and final point says here, remember who you are. We talked about your testimony. We've talked about the reward that you're going to reap ahead. But here in the present, here in the now, remember who you are. Verse 38 says, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It says here, but my righteous one, God says, my righteous one. Who are the righteous one? Church is us, his people. You see, the word righteous here means someone who is innocent, faultless, guiltless. Someone who has been freed from accusation. If you remember, what Christ did for us on the cross over 2,000 years ago made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. Complete, total forgiveness. That we have been freed from being slaves of our sins. That we have been made faultless. We have been justified because of what Jesus did for us. And so what the Bible is talking about here is that these people, the righteous one, that's us. If you're a follower, you're a believer of God, this is you. His righteous one, his children. You're his sons and daughters. And it says here, my righteous ones shall live by faith. We are called to live by faith. Okay, there's no other way to live this life with God than to live by faith. Daily. You see, life is not a 100-meter dash, church, na after a while, mananaka. But life is more of like a marathon. Anyone here been to a marathon? A marathon is longer. It takes time. It's not like after a few seconds, manana. No, it can take hours. And you need endurance. You need patience. It's not like gamayng dagat, manana. No, you keep on running and running and running and running until you reach the end. In the same way, as believers of Christ, we are called to live by faith. As His righteous ones, we are called to live by faith daily, week in, week out, until the day we die. We don't graduate from living by faith until we die, church. We keep on doing so every day because life is like a marathon. It's a long walk, or it's a long jog, if you will. Verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We are called to live by faith, and we are not those who shrink back. You know what shrink back means? It roughly means someone who's stealthily retreating, carefully backing away. The point is, when you're stealthily retreating, when you shrink back, you back away from what is in front of you. You're slowly retreating. Nakalayo ka. And the Bible says, we are not that. We are called to move forward, to live by faith, not to shrink back. That's why I entitled this installment, No Turning Back. I don't know what your state is right now, church. Maybe you feel like you can't think of what's going to happen in your 2019. You feel like you don't want to plan out. You don't want to believe for whatever's going to happen in 2019 because you feel like you can't move forward. Maybe you're bringing baggages of 2018 with you. You're bringing wounds and scars of 2016 pa, of 2015 pa. I don't know. But here's the thing. We are called not to shrink back, but to live by faith. To move forward. Because we are God's righteous ones. To wrap it off, to have faith that endures trials, remember how God worked in the past. Remember your testimony. Remember His faithfulness. But not just that, focus on doing His will in the present. Remember your reward. Do not give up your confidence in God. Do His will. Remember who you are and look to His promises in the future. Remember your reward, what you're going to experience in eternity. If we want to have great faith, church, remember these things. Because we can have great faith even amidst trials and challenges. Trials and challenges are not a reason for us to have not great faith, but rather amidst those things, we can have great faith. When we remember God's faithfulness, remember who we are, and remember His promises.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.